subject of what mothers deserve, I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 to start with, but we're going to jump all over the place today, so I ask you to be patient with us. But as I was contemplating what to bring this morning, I just couldn't help but to think about what mothers deserve. You know, when it comes to our life in this world, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for our moms. I don't think there was anyone here, raise your hand if you were, but I don't think there's anyone here in the service that was hatched in the sun because they were kind of left there by a crow. Is there anyone? I see one hand going up back there, and it happens to be a young lady about 16 years old. Obviously, the health classes are not working. But I don't think that any of us are here other than the fact that we had a mom who chose that we were going to have life. In this modern world, that's not always a sure thing anymore. And as a matter of fact, it is such an unsure thing that since the early 1970s, almost 60 million were chosen to not have life. That's tragic. But you and I, and isn't it interesting, that decision's always made by somebody who was given the gift of life, and yet they choose not to spread that gift on. That's a shame. But you and I are here because life was chosen for us. And because of that, our moms deserve some things. And the Bible tells us that there are things that our moms deserve. And I want us to look at some of those things. In fact, I want us to look at six of them this morning. I want us to look at the fact that our moms deserve obedience, that our moms deserve respect, that our moms deserve affection, that our moms deserve wisdom, that our moms deserve righteousness, and that our moms deserve care. So let's look at these six things as they are presented to us in the Scriptures. First of all, I want us to look at this subject of obedience. Notice with me, if you would, Proverbs chapter 1, look at that eighth verse. The eighth verse in Proverbs 1 reads like this: "Hear, my son, your father's instructions." Now catch this: "And do not forsake your mother's teaching." Hear your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. As I looked at that verse and thought about it, I began to look through the Proverbs and see what is the great Solomon. What in the world is he talking about? But you know, there are so many things that our moms teach us that begin from the moment we're laid for that first time in the cradle, and our moms teach us until they're laid in the casket. They teach us to love. They teach us to honor. They teach us to respect. They teach us to obey. They teach us about God. They teach us about our responsibilities to honor our word, to keep God holy. They teach us all of these amazing things that if we will follow and we will carry through life those principles, our lives will be much better. And that's why they teach us those things. And so Solomon, as he's writing to his son, he's saying, "Kid, listen to me. I want you to pay attention to this. Follow my instructions and follow the instructions of your mother. Moms teach us that part of life that deals with our relationships, that deals with our emotions. Moms teach us the things that deal with respect towards the law, towards other people. Moms teach us about our boundaries. But the important thing is, moms teach us. And Solomon says, don't ever forsake that. Look with me at Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. You don't have to turn to it if you don't want to. I'll end up reading it anyhow. But listen to what it says. Colossians 3:20 says this, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. We live in a society that takes our children and says, "Don't you listen to those crazy parents of yours, you listen to me." And that's tragic. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, and this is what I believe with all of my heart. I believe in schools, the things that are being taught in schools should support the things that are being taught in the homes. I believe the things that are taught in high school should support the principles that are taught in the home. I believe that when you get to the university level, you, instead of being taught that you should forsake the teachings of your parents, that you should forsake the teachings of significant individuals in your life, they should be teaching you, look, honor your parents, obey your parents. I was preaching a sermon along this line in the last church I pastored down at Mount Olive. And I had referred to the Cleavers. Anybody know who the Cleavers are? Some people know who the Cleavers are. Leave it to Beaver Cleaver, in case that helps to ring a bell. But I was talking about, you've got a father in that TV show who's not a moron, but who is respected. You've got a mother in that TV show that loves the father and doesn't belittle him or berate him. You have in that TV show parents who honored the principles of God. There was a lady in the church came up to me afterwards and she said, "Pastor, I have a real problem with that message today." And I said, "What's that?" She says, "You want us to live back in the 1950s. And I said, "No, I don't. I want us to live in the year zero. I want us to live in the teachings of Jesus, in the times of the apostles. I want us to live under the principles of Solomon. I want us to live our lives according to the scriptures and not according to the scientists and the sociologists. I want us to live the principles of God. That's what I want." Well, we're a modern day society. Well, just because we're modern doesn't make us right. But when we live by the Word of God, we'll always be right. You see, there's a danger that's taking place in our world, and that is that children are being taught they don't have to obey their parents. And they're catching that message real easy. But our mothers deserve our obedience. Secondly, our mothers deserve our respect. Listen to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Well, verses 1 and 2, really. But it says, children, in verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. We already looked at that. Now catch this. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Honor. That word honor means to respect and to revere them. Can I share something with you, young people? Your parents are smarter than you are. That's just about as blunt as I can get. They're smarter than you. And I'm going to tell you something. If they're following Jesus Christ and they're living for Him, they're smarter than your teachers. And they're smarter than your classmates. You need to respect them. It creams my corn when I hear a young person under the age of 70 lipping off to their parents. That's wrong. You know, as the scriptures were teaching this idea of honoring your parents, you know there was no age limit put on that. And just because you've turned 18, that doesn't mean you don't have to honor your parents anymore. Well, my professor said, I don't give a hoot what your professor said. There's going to come a day when your professor is going to stand before God the same as you and the same as me. And where every one of us is going to give an account for what we've said, for what we've done, for what we've thought. And if we are influencing people for the causes of righteousness, for the causes of goodness, for the causes that God has established, we're going to stand before God and we're going to hear the words, good and faithful servant, you've done a good job. Well done. Enter into your joy. And those who have not honored the word of God and the commands of God are going to hear, depart from me, you who work wickedness, because I don't know you. Folks, that begins at this age. And when they're being held like this, for the Bible tells us if you train up a child in the way that he should go when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Honor your father and your mother. For this is the first command with a promise that your days may be long. Why do we think that because someone's piece of paper on the wall says PhD, why do we think that they're intelligent? I would rather have someone with a degree that says SAVED and follow what they teach. Respect. Don't lip off. Don't curse at your parents. Don't yell at them. Don't talk back. Honor your parents. Greg Cutshaw. How old are you?
59.
59. Frank Cutshaw, how old are you? How old? 85. 85. You know what, Greg Cutshaw? You owe him respect because of who he is. Just because you're 59, that doesn't mean you can talk to your old man any way you want. You owe him respect. Frank, you have a responsibility too, to love your child as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. When he lips off to you, you backhand him one. But you see, folks, it doesn't matter what age. I told this story at my father's funeral. It happened when I was about 19. And my mom was upset with me about something, deservedly so. Because at 19, she had a lot of things to be upset with me about, deservedly so. And she was giving me the what for, and of course I thought, I'm 19. I don't have to listen to you. And out of nowhere came a fist that landed right there, while I landed right there. My father, this tall, 110 pounds, former lightweight boxer, stood over me like this, took his finger and says, "You never talk to your mother that way." Message received. You see, even though at that time my dad was not a believer, he believed in respect and honor. Folks, we are to respect our moms and our dads because they deserve that. They have sacrificed unbelievably for us. And God recognizes that. And he blesses because of that. Respect your parents. Number three, the third thing our moms deserve is they deserve affection. You know, there's an interesting little thing that we read over sometimes a little too quickly. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 19. It's in the 20th verse. And it's a circumstance where Elisha is getting his call to be a prophet. And, of course, we always like to think of these things as these monumental moments, you know, where the clouds open you know, we see God on the throne and we hear his voice as he says, "Serigliano, follow me. Do what I tell you to do." And we always want to think that that's the way those things go. But sometimes they don't go that way. And Elisha's circumstances is that he is being prodded by the senior prophet. Come on, Elisha, you've got a call. You need to follow me. Look, listen to what Elisha's response is. And I just love this. Even though I've overlooked it a lot of times and really not paid attention to it. It's in the 20th verse of chapter 19 of 1 Kings. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah, senior prophet. Okay? And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother. How come I hadn't seen that before? How come I hadn't noticed that? Let me, out of respect and out of honor, go and demonstrate affection to my parents. And then I'll come and I'll follow. That's exactly what he did. Greg, show affection to your dad. All right? Young people, show affection to your parents. That blesses God. And I hope that you want to be a blessing to God. Mothers deserve affection. Number four, mothers deserve wisdom. Or, if you will, stop being so stupid. Mothers deserve wisdom. In the book of Proverbs again, chapter 10, verse 1, we read this. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. A wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son. Is a grief to his mother. You see, wisdom comes from God. Knowledge might come from man, but wisdom comes from God. And there's a lot of difference between knowledge and wisdom. You can know a lot of stuff and be dumb as a rock when it comes to the stuff that matters. And the stuff that matters is, what are you doing towards eternity? What are you doing towards living righteously and godly in this present age? Are you following the teachings of your parents and making them glad? Or are you living in rebellion and rejection of their principles and driving a sword through their heart and causing them grief? Don't think for one minute that God isn't seeing that, because he is. Mothers deserve our wisdom. Listen to chapter 17, verse 25. Chapter 17, verse 25. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know what? That independent spirit might seem right. I'm big now. I'm my own boss. I'm in control. I don't have to listen to these petty principles of my parents anymore. I am king, hear me roar. I am queen, listen some more. You know, all of that independent spirited stuff. It seems right. But when it's rejecting the principles of God, it's a way that leads to death. It's time to get wise. Time to get smart. It's time to do it God's way. And what is God's way? Number five, mothers deserve righteousness. Again, the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. All rooted in righteousness. The father of the righteous. I've had a lot of proud moments in my life. I've had a lot of embarrassments and shames as well. That's part of life. But I'm going to tell you, when my son determined that he needed to obey the voice of God and follow the call of God, my heart and my head grew bigger than the Grinch's after his expanded. Because a righteous son makes a father glad. A righteous son makes a mother rejoice. I kind of like the word here that is rejoice because it means dance with joy. A righteous son, a righteous daughter makes their parents swell with gratitude, with joy, with happiness. Mothers deserve to have righteous children. Number six, mothers deserve care. We live in a society now that really doesn't agree with this. And it's kind of sad. I want you to listen to the words of Paul to the young preacher Timothy in the fifth chapter of 1 Timothy. I just want to read three verses here because there's some important things to understand here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, verse 8, and verse 16. Paul says this, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God." You see, aged parents become the responsibility of their children and not the state. It's the children's responsibility to care for their widowed mothers. Now look at verse 8. "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. In the eyes of God, it is dishonorable for children to not take care of their aged parents." And then verse 16. "If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, let her assist them. And let not the church be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed." If a woman, in other words, believer has dependent children, I'm going to use my daughter as an example here. She has no idea I'm going to do this. None of her business. Tom and I are driving down the road, and of course he's driving. There's a horrible automobile accident, and we go to be with Jesus. Lynette and Joyce are to take care of each other. It's not to be the responsibility of the church. It's to be the responsibility of Lynette and Joyce to take care of each other. Now, if Lynette happens to be with us, and the three of us go together, and I would have no other children, then it becomes the church's responsibility. If they're widows, indeed, Paul says. Being a widow doesn't just mean the passing of the husband. Being a widow means being destitute, being without help, without hope. Then it's the church's responsibility. Where there are children, it's their responsibility to step in and take care. Mothers deserve that. They deserve to have the security of a loving family to take care of them in their time of need. They have the right to expect that. Remember, they have sacrificed for you for years. And it's time to get over yourself and get under the blanket of God and do the right thing. Let's stand. In closing, I want to ask you, are we practicing what God has commanded us? Are we practicing true love, gratitude, and pure religion by giving our mothers what they deserve? By giving them the obedience, the respect, the affection, the wisdom, the righteousness, and the care that they deserve. We're not going to sing a hymn of invitation today because I believe that God can speak right at your pew. And today is the perfect day to say, Mom, I'm sorry. Or to say, Mom, I love you. Or to say, Mom, thank you. Thank you for all you've sacrificed for me. Thank you for all of the ball games you supported me at. For all of the concerts. For all of the activities that you drove me to and from. Thank you for all of the times when you taught me and you talked with me about Jesus. Mom, thank you for being honorable, for being loving, for being caring. Mom, I love you. It's a perfect day. It's Mother's Day. Children, honor your parents, for this is acceptable with God. I'm going to ask you, if you would, please take your hymnals. No, we're not going to sing that song. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for our moms. Thank you for these incredible women who chose life for us. Lord, even if they weren't the moms who were involved in our upbringing, they chose life for us. Father, thank you for those women that took the time and invested the love in making sure that we had the best that we could possibly have, the best that they could possibly give, knowing they sacrificed in order that we might have the best. Father, teach us to honor them for those times that we've failed. Please forgive us. But Father, it isn't just your forgiveness we need. It's theirs as well. And their forgiveness comes easy. Help us to do the honorable thing in seeking it. Now, Lord, I ask that as we leave this place and go to our homes or restaurants or for a drive or whatever we're doing, Father, let this be a day that we honor our moms. Let it be a memory of joy for them and not a moment of pain. Father, teach us to love as you have loved us. And we'll give you thanks, and we'll give you praise, and we'll give you glory. For it's in your matchless and holy and righteous name we pray. Amen.